Yeah, that wasn't annoying. That just danced over the eardrum, didn't it, Howie? All right, folks, this is Papa's Football Podcast. I am John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood.
What's good, people?
There you go. Look, he engaged you, audience. Listen to us forever now. We care. Show site is pfpod.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done, because who doesn't want to hear from a playoff summary last year? You know, that's some good listening right there. Find us on iTunes. You technically use the podcast app on any iDevice you have. You can use Stitcher on iDevices or Droids. Just look up Papa's Football Podcast, P-A-P-A apostrophe S, Football Podcast. Subscribe to us, like us, leave a review. That's all the good stuff that helps us out. I don't know. So Howard.
Apologies for missing out on the Monday episode. We're recording a couple days late this week.
Yeah, which means we get to include that barn burner that they had in the Meadowlands where, oh God, was that a game that sucked?
Yeah, I mean, do you really think the Dolphins have a... Well, number one, how good a shot did they have of making the playoffs? And number two, do you even care?
I can answer one of those. I don't care. I certainly don't. The only thing that's fascinating about the Dolphins to me as a Redskins fan is to see who the hell's their quarterback again?
Tannehill,
Ryan Tannehill. See him do, things that RG3 is no longer doing, like start games.
Watching the first half of that game, though, I was highly unimpressed with Ryan Tannehill's play. I mean, he was shut out entirely in the first half, and they won 16-13 against a very bad Jets team.
No one's going to accuse him of being in the running with Luck from that year's quarterback class.
I'm sorry, but I believe the leader of that group is Russell Wilson.
I would still rather have Luck on my team any day of the week.
We shouldn't get into this right now. You're about to piss me off.
Really? Really? I feel Russell Wilson is effective in one very specific offense, and I think Luck is just good, man.
You're infuriating right now. Can we please just go back to the Dolphins? Like, I don't want to go there right now.
Superiority of the white man. Okay. You look at him and you're like, what? The Dolphins got him 6 picks later. I think he was like the 8th pick maybe, and they certainly didn't give up 15 first rounders for him.
Right. No. I mean, the Redskins upper people are freaking morons, and the reality is like, Tannehill's doing enough to possibly get him into the playoffs right now. So he's doing his job. I do like listening to him after games because he understands football, unlike RG3, it seems, where Tannehill can appreciate when he has played poorly and he identifies his weaknesses and tries to improve upon them. So I give him that much credit.
Yeah, RG3 would like throw 4 picks and then be like, we really sucked, eat at Subway. And that would be his post-game
My teammates interview. Just need to do a lot better at making me look less bad.
Yeah. Oh, F him. F that crippled bastard. So last week we went on and on and we're like, when is the last time we ever had a slate of Thanksgiving games this strong? Even the crappy Detroit game, that's gonna be good. And it was Bears at Detroit, Eagles at Dallas, and I believe
Seattle at San Francisco.
I don't know about you, dude. I thought unequivocally all of those were like, I won't say garbage games, but just not watchable.
Yeah, you know, I don't dislike my family, but if there's good football, like, I definitely spend less time with them. And this year, they got a whole heck of a lot more time with Howard.
Absolutely. So even they were cursing the NFL under their breath. They're like, oh, this dickbag's just, well, you're a grown man. Why are you even here, Howard? That's what they're thinking.
To me, the biggest problem with those games is that in each game, one team didn't show up. You know, I'm not going to penalize the 3 teams that actually did play good games. It's just
not
unfortunate
a bad way
that,
of thinking about it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate no 2 teams showed up in the same game.
The Bears looked like crap. 49ers, I don't even know what to say. You look at them now and you're like, was this ever good? Like, you almost forget they're in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Here's what frustrates me about the way national media went into this game, and we talked about it last week because the Redskins had just played the Niners. As much as people had been getting on RG3 for sucking, being absolutely horrible at San Francisco, the Niners only won by 4 points. Colin Kaepernick did not look like a very good quarterback the prior game.
So yeah, how many turnovers was he responsible for? Because, again, I'm stuck with the damn Redskins year in, year out, week in, week out. So I see all of their games. It is not common for that defense to get three turnovers. I know they did it again this week, but, like, again, that's much more a commentary on the Colts.
And the reality is they could not keep the Colts out of the end zone.
Yeah.
The Colts almost hung up 50 points in that Redskins defense that did cause turnovers. But, yeah, there were three turnovers in the San Francisco-Seattle game. So,
well,
yeah.
That's the whole thing is, like, Alex, or I'm not Alex Smith, but Colin Kaepernick just has a horrible passer rating. It's like, I forget what the thread on Reddit was talking about, but it's like, he's had maybe three turnover games, and three of them are against Seattle. I mean, that's, dude, you cannot have that being your statistic for not just a team in your division. Like, it'd be one thing if it was St. Louis that was kicking this guy's ass up and down the street every time they played, but it's Seattle, like, the tough team in the division, the classically good one in the division. And I know the Cardinals are on top right now, but you would still say the Seahawks the last few years have been the, I don't know, kind of, maybe not. Maybe you wouldn't. San Francisco got to the playoffs through them, or at least, you know.
2 years, but they've been surpassed for the past two seasons, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's bad, man. Like, now it's the whole scuttlebutt is Harbaugh is pretty much gone as hell into the season.
He should go coach at Michigan at this point. I think that.
Oh, you don't even want him in the NFL.
I mean, he might stay in the NFL. I think there could be a trade involving him to, I don't know, maybe the Jets. I don't know where else he might end up. But yeah, looking at that 49ers team right now, I don't think Kaepernick is really a good enough quarterback for, I'm not sure any team in the league right now. Just the way that he established himself as the starter on the 49ers required him to run the ball more than he currently is.
Yeah, you paid attention to them more than I have. What has regressed about his game, or what has changed?
What has not improved is he continues to get sacked at a high rate. So the problem him and both Cam Newton have this season is that they're getting sacked more than anybody else. They're 1-2 in terms of number of sacks and the yards lost overall because of sacks. And they're not running the ball as effectively. So when you have a running quarterback, you want to see them take better care of the ball by throwing it away once in a while. Russell Wilson is beginning to, he's always shown the ability to get rid of the ball. Or just, you know, take the shorter sack. So Russell Wilson gets sacked quite a bit, but nowhere near the number of yards lost on sacks.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to get back to the line of scrimmage, or he's, you know, he's doing a better job of trying to just throw the ball, like get outside the pocket, throw the ball away. He does those two things. And he actually sometimes breaks for long runs this season. He's doing all three things that you want to see a quarterback do. Kaepernick and Newton are not running the ball as much, number one, so they're not taking advantage of one of their greatest assets when it comes to playing the quarterback position. But they're getting sacked just as even more than usual because they, I think, are lost where their running game goes. And that's where they really need to mature as quarterbacks in the same way that RG3 does. He's had a horrible time getting sacked this season. And just get outside the pocket and throw the ball away. So when you don't have quarterbacks who are protecting the ball and are just taking sack after sack after sack, you cannot have that person as your starting quarterback.
Is it? I know RG3's problem is, the current theory is he saw Andrew Luck doing the whole pocket passer thing and was like, I want to be that now. And I guess it was also floated to him that you should do that to avoid injury. Is that, do they have like a forcible, we're going to convert you, Colin, to be a pocket passer and you're not going to run as much?
Some, but you have to, yeah, I think there's an issue with the way that you approach a quarterback who's not accustomed to the pocket. In the way that you get them to stay more in the pocket. You still have to work within their skill set. You know, you have to get them to roll out more, but you have to, I think, emphasize the throwing the ball away with a guy like that more than staying in the pocket. So when he has the instinct to run, I think that's the real key. You have to harness that that desire, that instinct to just keep the play alive and have them roll out and stay out behind the line of scrimmage. And if they don't see anything, throw the ball away. Maybe they can tuck it and run, but if there's a defender right in front of them, you don't want them taking a lot of hits. So, you know, either aim for the sideline, take 3 yards. You don't always have to, like, go for the home run. They are unleashing. The big difference is they are letting Colin Kaepernick run in the fourth quarter. He is taking some pretty heavy hits when he starts looking downfield with his legs. But he's waiting till later in the game because you can't have a quarterback getting smashed for four quarters. And that's the idiotic mentality that Mike Vick brought into the league, and that some of the guys who look up to him have also tried to adopt.
That kills me. Like, how do you look up to what, dog thing aside, how do you look up to what Mike Vick's career has been? It's, he had, like, what, one really good year in Atlanta, too?
I mean, he used to pride himself, I'm not a quarterback, I'm a football player. I'm like, yeah, that's great, but, you know, not everybody on the field is required to throw the ball.
Yeah, and you
it's
know
a
who
finesse
gets
job.
Paid better than the football player? The quarterback.
Yeah, it's a finesse job.
And you get Papa John's ass. So, it's awesome.
You just can't have those guys getting whacked. It's been the same always. Like, even in the 70s, you know, you always had the quarterback wearing a separate jersey at practice because he couldn't get hit. You needed him fresh.
God, the 70s, why would you ever run? I know Fran Tarkenton or whatever, that was like his signature. You could beat the hell out of anyone back then.
Yeah.
Guys would show up on the field with a chunk of brick in their mitts. Never do that. Good Lord. That would have been the only position I played, that and kicker.
So, to be fair to Kaepernick and RG3, it seems like they're not taking advantage of the skill to run and be mobile and turning it into just roll out, look for, extend the play and then throw it out of bounds, or just like slot. Russell Wilson slides constantly and takes 3-yard plays, I feel, when there's nothing downfield. You know, if he sees that coverage is dropped and there's nothing open.
He so rarely runs in a way that costs them yards. Like, if I see him taking off, it's always for at least like a little gain and sometimes a big one. Whereas, I know what you're saying, Kaepernick and RG3 seek to extend the play via their legs by kind of like just running back, and then they just get smashed, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, that was a nice 9-yard sack.
Even on a big play by Russell Wilson, he goes down before he gets clobbered in almost every instance.
Yes.
And the second...
I so rarely see him like where I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, like, is he going to walk after that?
Yeah, no, my favorite part about watching Russell Wilson play is when he does have a run, he knows that's the exact situation to go no huddle because he has the ball. He can hand it to the ref. He just needs the center to come up there, and then they can run another play.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever pass play they had in mind previously, they could do something pretty similar in the next play and then have another positive play as opposed to getting whacked and not knowing where you are for a second and just letting the defense regroup while you're still in pain for another play. I mean, it's just... There's an intellectual aspect of playing quarterback that I think Kaepernick and RG3 have failed to grasp. So going back to your comment where does RG3 think he has to play like Andrew Luck, the irony to me in that statement is that Andrew Luck runs the ball pretty well too. He has more of a Russell Wilson approach to mm-hmm. like what to do. He still, I feel, is learning the position in a way where he's developing. I think he's very far along in his development. He's... At this point, a top 5 passer in the league, just the numbers I've seen from him are pretty good, but I know it can be better. I guess this is now the time for me to get on your case of why it's unfair, in my opinion, for you to say that Luck is better than Russell Wilson at this point. Super Bowl ring aside, let's talk about that important statistic. if you look at the receiving core for both those gentlemen,
yeah,
it's not even close. Like, the Indianapolis offense is just built for the passing game, and he has such a ridiculous core of receivers. It's not even fair to compare.
But do you think Wilson has it in him to be able to really take advantage of like a really good receiving core?
Are you kidding?
I don't know, man. I'm just putting it out there.
I mean, it's receivers
Questions
can do so
are
much.
To be answered.
Receivers can do so much to improve the ability of a quarterback. And like right now, the number one receiver in Seattle is Doug Baldwin, who on many teams, I think if Doug Baldwin played in Indianapolis, he'd be the number 3 receiver.
Yeah, I was going to say third.
If at best.
Yeah, I guess I'm coming from the other side of things where we, you know, in Washington right now, I'm seeing a couple very good receivers, and it's like they're not exactly getting to make things happen. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, Doug Baldwin would probably be the number 3 receiver in Washington.
Absolutely, no. I mean, DeSean Jackson's a great one, and then you got Garcon.
Garcon's money. I like him. I think he's a great
receiver.
He's
barely being used this year. It's really messed up.
It's frustrating, man. Yeah. So I did appreciate watching Colt McCoy. I'm a Texas guy, so seeing Colt represent pretty well for UT alumni.
Colt had some insane, like, there was the one play he had where he ducks 3 dudes.
It was rated the number 1 NFL play
of the
week by ESPN.
Ducks 3 guys, throws a touchdown right as he's getting taken down.
Yeah.
By someone from behind. I watched that, and you're like, maybe we're in this. And then immediately the Colts put up a touchdown in reply, and you're like, okay, we're not.
Well, let me ask you this, Redskins fan. Could you see Colt McCoy being the starter opening day next season?
Dude, I've watched this team where Rex Grossman has started an opening day, if I recall properly.
Yeah, I just, if you're going to move past RG3, I wonder if they're going to plan to draft another quarterback high in this draft.
God, I hope not. God, I hope not. Oh, I hope that Jay Gruden going out of his way to find Colt McCoy is because he kind of liked the dude and was like, I think I can do something with him.
Yeah.
And I think he's perfectly serviceable. For the love of God, given all the holes. This team has had an S offensive line.
Right.
When was it good? When was it good, man? Like, I mean, it's just Gibbs years. Like, do we have to go back that far?
If two of your quarterbacks next year are Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy, you can put so much more into that offensive line.
You have a first round pick to put into it. That would be nice. I don't know if you have to get someone that high in the draft, but like they did that with Trent Williams. He was what, like a fifth pick or something like that overall.
Roy Helu's a really good running back, and he's the backup to Alfred Morris. I mean, you have the two receivers we already talked about. What's the Jordan Reed is like, he's a pretty good tight end.
Yeah, he's perfectly serviceable.
He's better than that. Yeah. Like, he could really start to break out next season. I mean, you have an offense where you can plug in a quarterback at a pretty cheap price next year. I just don't see why this team is in a position where they have to go make this big splash to get a quarterback.
I don't think they will. If they do, look, I have tapped out on this team as much as you can tap out on them.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never go to a game. I will never buy one bit of merchandise. And I flip away to a watchable game as soon as things are going poorly. Like, you know what I did last week by pretty much halftime? I started watching X-Men Days of Future Past with my friend. Because we all got really effing bored watching the Skins game. And so, you know, that's a good one. It's got the Magneto or Magneto. You got your Xavier. It's all tight. So that was fine. We hopped back, watched the Skins at that point really getting their ass kicked, and we went back to Days of Future Past.
Yeah, I think that team, if they're going to have a winning season next year, because that should be the goal, I really hope they keep Jay Gruden and they give him a chance to work with these two quarterbacks who are bargain bin quarterbacks right now, and they improve the rest of the roster.
Yeah, look, all a quarterback has to do for the Redskins at this point, given their wideouts, it's like, stay off your damn back and like throw a pretty deep ball or a decent deep ball. Like, that's it.
Gruden wants a quarterback who can make quick reads at the line of scrimmage before the snap and then to actually read through his progressions once the ball is snapped. So that's what he has right now with McCoy. He actually did have a fair performance from Kirk Cousins as well when he was in there. He just couldn't play four quarters well. The frustration with Cousins, I think, was that he couldn't put a complete game together.
Yeah, Cousins was a turnover machine. He had these great glimpses, but then you're like, dude, how was that his fourth pick? You know, like, there comes a point where it's just unforgivable, where I don't care if you're the backup or what. Like, you've done so much damage to your team.
Well, I think he really knew that he could confidently tell at that point in the season he was already doing better in the offense than RG3, and I believe he probably felt that he needed to perform out of his skull in order to take the job away from RG3 this season, when in reality, the best way to take the job from RG3 was to let him implode on his own when he got healthy.
Yeah. It's, dude, I can't even think, when is the last time so many picks for a team went up in smoke? And we're going to move past this to good football that occurred during the weekend. And I know that RG3 pretty much is riding pine and he's out of town by the end of the season.
It was more costly than the Ricky Williams trade with New Orleans and New Orleans. I can't remember who they traded to.
So they in essence flushed two ones and a two.
No, they flushed an entire year's draft.
No. You're New Orleans. I'm saying the Skins gave up
three number ones,
but they got one back. So I look at that like your ones are a wash. So they lost 2 years worth of one picks after that, and they lost the two also, which for some reason is the one that vexes me the most. They lost the two of the year. They got RG3.
They lost eight picks.
Oh, what the Rams have parlayed it into, you mean? Yeah. They lost a lot. And the Colts lost, a first rounder on Trent Richardson, in essence. That guy just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... We've all sat back and tried to let him prove himself. He just sucks. Like, there is a nonstop cavalcade of running backs that outperform him on the Colts.
I remember watching the Redskins-Colts game, and they mentioned the guy that replaced who's the running back now for the Colts? I don't even know his name. The number one back that has now replaced Brett Richardson was apparently on the practice squad when Jay Gruden was with the Bengals. And so the Colts took him from the Bengals practice squad, and he's now outperforming the number three overall pick from that draft.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Like, no one will not be better than Richardson. And they have to sit there like a dunce. It's like this baby version of the RG3 game, where objectively you look at what they do on the field and you're like, oh, he sucks, get rid of him. But you gave up like this huge pick for him. So you're like, give him time, he'll mature into something. Yeah. No, he's not just bad. Trent Richardson's historically bad.
I think they're just hoping.
It's shocking. And don't get me wrong. I'm on a team that gave up Christ knows how much for RG3. But you just move past it, man.
I think they're hoping that they can use him in goal line situations still. I think the jury's still out.
Oh, whether if he can serve as like a mini Jerome Bettis or something?
Well, not even that. It's more like Leroy Horde. I think they're just hoping for a guy that, like, within the 10-yard line, you know, goal line situation, he'll get you 3 yards. Or just the one to get to pay dirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what they're praying for with him.
But it's not even going to work that way, because I've watched more than my share of Trent Richardson games, and it's not even like he's some guaranteed 1 yard. Like, he'll take him for a loss all the time, man.
The first guy routinely takes him down, and it's usually because Trent Richardson ran into him at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and just thinks he's going to out-muscle him. And it's like, maybe that worked in college, you big dummy, but
you should probably try to go around people. You know, I think, like, you're allowed to stiff arm him or whatever else.
He doesn't make cuts.
No.
All right. So from all of those lows to what I think a lot of people will, you know, uniformly declare the high point of the week in terms of gameplay, the Packers triumphing over the New England Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't as impressed with that game as you were.
It's not like I was. Look, I just remember we finished X-Men. And we got in about a half quarter in, and I was like, for a game I had no investment in whatsoever, I don't really care about the Packers. Patriots I kind of hate, but even that's faded. I just remember, like, the whole time, because my buddy who had X-Men also had gotten Guardians of the Galaxy, the whole time I'm like, okay, if this game sucks, we're going to put on Guardians. And next thing I knew, the game was over. I'm like, son of a bitch, that was a good game. So, yeah, it was tight, man. Look, the one thing I'm going to walk away from after watching this, or walk away with after watching this, God damn if Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like the best thing I've ever seen lining up behind center, man. That dude is just good. I know I am going out on the limb of limbs declaring Aaron Rodgers good quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's just a joy to watch. Like, the guy's just, he's goddamn good, man. He might be better than Peyton. I know that's blasphemy.
Especially no, I don't think that is. I think he has a better grasp of how to run the ball than Peyton did while he was in Indianapolis. You know, Peyton's doing a lot better, I think, with John Fox. There's more of a communication between a coach and a quarterback there, where Peyton is learning the game of football, I feel, finally. I think Rodgers has always had a strong sense of the West Coast offense with McCarthy. I really like it. I really like the way that he runs the offense. I like his interception to touchdown ratio. It's absurd this season.
Do you know the last time he threw an interception at Lambeau? It was 2 years ago yesterday, I think.
Wow.
It was back in early December of 2012, dude.
That's amazing.
That was December 3rd, 2012, I want to say. That's nuts, dude. You want to talk home field advantage. I'm not the biggest believer in that. When your quarterback hasn't thrown a pick in 2 years at home, that's an advantage.
He has 32 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this year.
I like that ratio. I could live with that ratio.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, so, I mean, he could never win another Super Bowl, and I would probably put him as the best quarterback who's playing today. Amongst all those guys, I would take him number one overall. I hated him coming out of college, too. Didn't think he was worth jack. So, I'm one of the many people he proved wrong.
Yeah, I really wasn't paying attention to drafts, I think, back then when they nabbed him.
He was
number 18 overall?
No, he's 24.
24, okay.
Yeah.
Ben was 18 then. Was that it? Roethlisberger was?
Yeah, they weren't the same year, were they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
Roethlisberger was the Eli year, if I recall.
Yeah, I can't remember the year that
Wasn't it like an Eli Phillip Rivers Roethlisberger year? Okay.
Rodgers was the number two rated quarterback the year he came out, and I can't remember who was number one, but I just remember everybody was talking about Rodgers being potentially the number two
pick. It was Ryan Leaf.
No. But yeah, no, he slid. He was projected as high as two, and he slid to 24.
Wow.
But, you know, he's proven everybody wrong. Guys like him in college give me pause because, number one, he was coming out right after Kyle Bowler, who was horrible with the Ravens, and they went to the same school. So to me, that was a red flag. But the other red flag was now, you know me, I have my old Joe Montana shirt from when I was a kid, and I still wear it.
It has a weird, like, big bobblehead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
So I kind of felt Aaron Rodgers on that, but it disturbed me that he insisted in college on wearing it during every game.
What?
Like, it was his undershirt.
Really?
Yeah.
That same shirt.
Yeah, so guys like that always give me pause, because I remember David Carr, when he came into the league, he refused to take his wedding ring off. They had to come up with a special, like, Band-Aid in order to allow him to wear his wedding ring, because he didn't want to forget about his wife while he's playing an NFL game.
Are you kidding me? God, I forgot that.
So, I understand superstition is a part of sports, but there are certain things where I'm like,
oh,
your psyche might be too fragile for a sport that...
You've lost the team if you say that. How do you say that in front of other men and then expect them to follow you? Sorry, guys. Don't want to forget about my wife for 3 hours.
Man.
Oh.
I think it was more honestly that his wife was worried that the women at home might misconstrue him as being single, and then they would flirt with him on the way to and from the team bus. Or while on the road in the hotel, the groupies might...
Ooh, oh, yeah, because
I saw you at the game,
the ring will keep
ring.
Them away.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was horrible. Poor. You know, I used to think poor Derek Carr, and now I wish that bastard had been concussed even more. Screw him. Oh, man. So, yeah, a lot of people going out to crown this Patriots-Packers game as a Super Bowl preview.
I'm one of those people.
Really?
I wouldn't say it's for sure, but it's a great selling point. These are, like, two teams that are clearly number one in each
conference
right now.
I mean, I'd give that, like, 1 in 5 odds, which I think are, like,
that's pretty
bad
good.
Odds of that happening.
That's pretty high.
Still 80% it ain't happening.
Yeah, and so I do like talking about the possibility, because it is a possibility. I mean, it's not a high possibility, as you just pointed out, but still, like, it would be enjoyable to see those two teams play each other in the Super Bowl. I don't think it's wrong to say that.
And for those that want to jack their pricks to records and stats and all that at home, I want to say the guy who wins in the regular season is not favored to win a Super Bowl rematch.
Well, the stat I look more at with this game is the fact that the Patriots were on the road playing at Lambeau.
Yeah.
And they simply were unable to run the ball at Lambeau.
Gronk still looked amazing, by the way.
He will always look amazing in that matchup. The Packers can't stop him.
You can hate the Patriots. And again, I'm no fan of the Patriots. I watch him and I just laugh like a little kid.
Yeah.
It's like watching Master Blaster in the Ring of Thunderdome. It's just men look like boys next to this ogre.
But I would definitely pick the Patriots to win in the Super Bowl matchup between these two on a neutral field. The Patriots will absolutely be able to run the ball against the Packers in a way that they couldn't at Lambeau. So to me, I think it's almost a no-brainer of who to pick. I'm not saying that the Patriots would be a slam dunk to win in a rematch on a neutral field, but just as a fan of the game, I'd have to pick the Patriots in that rematch.
I go with them as well. I think just Lambeau, like you said, is way more suited for the Packers. Not that any team flourishes in the cold.
That's why they might lose in the playoffs, honestly.
But you're at least a little more accustomed to it.
Yeah.
If you play there.
Anytime we talk about the Packers playoff hopes, I always go back to the fact that the time they won the Super Bowl, they were a road team every playoff game.
Yeah, they got in that year 9-7, if I recall.
I think they might have been 10-6. I can't remember. But yeah, they were definitely
I believe they're a card, yeah.
They were definitely, because their first game was on the road at Philly. And so that was the closest playoff game they had, because then they crushed Atlanta.
Oh, and then they just had their egos just through the roof at that point.
So, yeah, that was...
lightning, crap, thunder.
But now, like, they're looking at hosting at least one, if not all, playoff games they play in the NFC. And in a way that the cold does favor them in certain respects, but it's also a great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
It can give a team a great chance to stay in a game with them. So that's why they're going to have the hardest time, honestly, getting to the Super Bowl, especially if they're the number one seed.
I'm trying to look at the other stories from the week. In terms of stuff that applies to a playoff contender, cards dropping two straight, especially this is their second, and they drop it to the Falcons. That's huge.
Yeah.
I didn't think Carson Palmer was that essential to that team, and boy, do I look like the horse's asshole right now. Because there's a chance they're going to be playing at their home field for the Super Bowl, but as Pro Football Talk put it, but there's good odds they won't be playing on the way there at home.
Yeah.
It's if they get in, man, I don't know. It looks dim. It's just like that. And again, it blows my mind because I think there were, what, 2-1 with Drew Stanton starting? And really, it was hard to look at Palmer and see him as this heart and soul of the team. But, hey, you know what? That's a pretty damn sharp tactic for making a team realize that you're worth your money. Sign your big contract, get injured, and then they eat balls the rest of the season. You're going to come back like Christ. Kidding me? They're going to throw rose petals at your feet when you walk back on that field next year. So I think that's a big story, man, because especially one more loss out of them combined with a Seahawks win, suddenly the Seahawks are in charge of the division. That is, no one saw that coming before the Palmer injury.
And yet, yeah, Seattle's looking really good right now.
Yeah, they're playing their best ball of the year, to use the old cliche.
For them to take over that division would be very impressive. And, you know, I have to admit that I think Detroit has a very strong shot to make the playoffs now. I've been denying that all season. I've been saying they're fakers. But the reality is...
They're makers! Had to.
I look at that NFC playoff picture, and Detroit's got a great shot to get in. And we really might be looking at a situation where Seattle's the only team to come out of the NFC West. Could you believe that?
Dude, that would Dallas be weird, Detroit, but I mean, if the cards just keep dropping, what do you expect?
Yeah.
And I don't even know the strength of their schedule. Let's,
it's brutal, man.
Really?
They're playing three teams with winning records. It's KC, Seattle, and San Francisco. The one team they're playing that has a losing record is St. Louis, giant killer.
Yeah, who live to just be assholes in that division.
Yeah, and in Oakland.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the other just stories of the week I had picked in terms of interesting games. A week after the Raiders make sure that they're not going to go 0-16 to tie the Lions for that dubious distinction, and you're like, maybe they've turned this thing around. They get smashed by the Rams, 52-0. I mean, that's like such a loss. It destroys all memory of the win. Yeah. It's the same way that back in 2012, if you're a Skins fan and you saw RG3 just lurch and then fall forward and fumble with like his knee just in tatters, you're like, I forgot that they won, what, 9 in a row? They won 7 in a row to do this. Everything good that happened was deleted, and it's all bad again. That's what the Raiders must feel right now, man. Like, you do not lose 52-0. You can't do that and then be like, well, we had last week. You're like, no, we don't. We legally don't have that anymore. Like, what is the most lopsided beating in like 4 years or some crap? I mean, dude, I remember when Atlanta beat the F out of the Bucks. Like, I think week 2 on Thursday Night Football or something like that. Even that was like 56-10 when all was done, or like 56-6 or something.
Yeah, like eventually.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. At least they got some garbage points to salvage their reputation.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the beauty of getting those garbage time points. You can say all you want about them, but when some blowhard asshole like me is talking about the game a week later, I'm like, hey, they weren't shut out.
Yeah. Because everybody always talks about the last time you were shut out, and that's the last time now that Oakland was shut out.
Yeah, like you can't. To be shut out means you didn't even sniff field goal range. Like, it's just goddamn embarrassing, man. Like, you never got. And I guarantee you, when you're down 48-0, your coach is eyeballing like 60-yard field goals just to be like, please get us on the board.
I mean, I think every player on the team is just like, give me 3 points. Just give me 3 points.
So in essence, they really didn't get past like midfield the whole game. That's horrible. Oh, that's horrible.
There are two more stories to highlight before we start talking about the games ahead. I think it's the Chargers beating the Ravens at Baltimore. That's a huge win in the wild card race in the AFC, which is now just a huge cluster F.
I had no idea the Chargers were 8-4. Because I remember they started 5-1, then dropped to 5-4. did not realize they had hung up three more wins after that. So, you know what? God bless them. They are weird as hell. They're always one of those teams that makes the playoffs interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they like to play ball control, which means that they can beat anybody in the league, and they can also lose to the worst possible team in the league. I mean, they're just, that's the way they play. They don't necessarily score a lot of points. They put up 34 this week, though, and it was one better than the Ravens, so good for them.
Here's your weird factoid, though. I believe Philip Rivers has the best quarterback rating in December of anyone in the past like 4 years. The guy's a December monster.
Good for him.
It's good for him.
But the final playoff competing team with a big story, and I'm glad we put it off because this is the attention it deserves. Yeah. Brian Hoyer was replaced by Johnny Manziel this past week in a loss to the Buffalo Bills, and yet we heard today on Wednesday that Hoyer is going to be starting now.
Which was very unexpected. Yeah, everyone.
Really?
Look, in terms of just talking heads, NFL types, it was believed once you put in Manziel, there's no going back. And not only that, Brian Hoyer has had a rough stretch of like four games. I think his last two, he's had five picks and zero touchdowns.
I mean, disagree. I feel like a lot of talking heads were really pointing out. I give Trent Dilfer a lot of credit because he defended Brian Hoyer, pointing out that the past several quarterbacks, including Trent Dilfer himself, had a horrible win percentage. So Hoyer's the only one who has a winning record amongst the past.
I believe, what is it, 20 starters, 20 years? Something like that?
And since 1998.
Okay, yeah, 20 starters.
Everybody's been a loser except for Brian Hoyer.
He was 10-5.
So you have to give him the chance. I think you really do.
It's hard for me to say, even if he stinks on ice, you're going to plug in Manziel and that guy's going to come off the bench and just light things up. I mean, there's just certain levels of understanding in the league, man.
It's just, to me, like, the reason I would have put him in is I'm looking at that game in 2 weeks, not this Indy game. I think you have to have Hoyer as the starter against Cincinnati because he's already beaten them once at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So you can't have Manziel in there for that game against the Bengals again. No, that rematch against the Bengals with a rookie quarterback is a bad idea.
The Bengals are very much like the Chargers, where they started hot, had this awful streak, and at that point I tapped out on Bengals ball, and suddenly they're like, what, a win and a half over everyone else in the division?
They got a rough road, though. Their next four games are tough. They got to play the Steelers twice. Like, those two teams are
just Steelers have
beat
been strangely decent
other.
This year.
Except they just got beat by the Saints in Pittsburgh.
I didn't expect much. I really didn't expect much out of them this year. Like, I'll be honest, I thought this was the year, like, they effed up again and everything got cleaned out. Like, their coach Omar Epps, the whole shebang got washed down the toilet.
They still might not make the playoffs, man. Those two games against Cincinnati are important. I mean, if one of those two teams can win both those games, like, they're both looking at that situation. They may not be thinking that way, but if one of those teams can take away two victories out of that situation, that team's going to the playoffs. Reality is they're probably going to split. So you're looking at a situation where they're just beating up each other, where everybody else is trying to get ahead in the playoff race. By the way, Cincinnati also has to play at Cleveland, and they host Denver. So that's a rough road. They're a game and a half up right now because of that tie they had. But, yeah, man, I mean, they're going to have a tough time stringing together two victories out of that.
About the number I'd pick.
It's not impossible, but, you know, they really need two, man. They can't afford to drop. Yeah.
No, I God, 10-5-1. 10-5-1's pretty good.
That should be a playoff team, just
that,
because
that should get you out of the North.
10-6 might not get you in this year, but 10-5-1 should.
Yeah. Because it really is just currently a glut in the AFC of 7-5 teams. I guess the NFC is what, 8-4 teams? A bunch of them.
It's not that competitive, man. I mean, really, like, you're talking Dallas, for the current teams that are not in first place, you're looking at Dallas, Detroit, Seattle, San Francisco. Those are the teams that are looking at it. You have a four-team race right now for two. So that's nowhere near the situation that's out in the AFC. So you have a lot of teams with 7-5 records, but Miami and Buffalo both have really tough schedules. Cincinnati's a tough schedule, but they got the best record out of the crew. Baltimore, I think, is a really good shot. Honestly, like, Baltimore, it's theirs to lose. They have, like, one of the better schedules of these teams. So, but even San Diego and Kansas City have rough schedules. So, Baltimore, you have no excuses. Like, your schedule is probably the easiest of all those 7-5 teams.
What do they have?
Yeah, let's pull it up. So Baltimore's upcoming games are going to start this week at Miami. That's the big matchup.
Yeah.
Because that's Ray Lewis is calling that a playoff game, and I think that's a fair way to advertise
it. It is. Whoever's dropped to 7-6, I think you pack your bags.
I mean, Miami's got a much tougher schedule. I think, though, here's the reality. Even if the Ravens lose that and go to 7-6, they got Jacksonville, Houston, and Cleveland, their final three games. That really is the easiest road of any team.
Yeah, you've got a couple real turds in that punch bowl.
I wouldn't say turds. Like, Houston still has a great shot at tying Indianapolis in the next 2 weeks for first place in that division, by the way.
I mean, not with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm just saying, like, Indy could very easily lose to Cleveland this week. That could happen.
Yeah, it could.
Houston has a weak game this week, and then they play each other again. So, like, in 2 weeks, you really could see Houston tied for first place again in the South.
It'd make things interesting, man. Dude, you want to see more J.J. Watt. Like, I have not seen enough of that guy this season. He's insane.
Yeah, I look forward, because we get a lot of the Ravens games in the D.C. area. I'd love to see him crushing Joe Flacco.
He's
I'm looking forward to that.
In, like, the 20s in terms of tight ends.
He's either
the 21st
funny.
Or the 28th.
Oh, man.
It's pretty absurd, man. Like, if he doesn't win MVP...
It's tough. It's just because his team stinks.
Just
man.
Declare that it's a quarterback contest at that point.
Dude, it's because his team is bad. If they make the playoffs, he'd be in the running. But they don't look like a playoff team right now.
He can't do it all alone. Can't do it all alone. Shall we get to the games of this week?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. What we got. Start Cowboys at Bears Thursday night. Boy, do I not care about this.
It's gonna be a high octane game. I'm really hoping for a lot of.
I want the Cowboys to lose, don't get me wrong, but this is just textbook something that I hope is on in the gym when I put my fat ass on the treadmill for a while.
That's funny because, you know, we've talked many times on this show how, you know, I prefer just that ground and pound type style of football game.
And I'm not horribly against it, don't get me wrong.
Just, I like anybody else, likes to see just a ridiculous, like, Pac-12 style, like, deep passing game sort of exhibition. You know, teams that play that way don't often win championships in the absence of a defense. So, you know, with Dallas at Chicago, I'm still not persuaded that the Dallas defense is a championship caliber defense. So,
somehow people are forgetting that before the season began, the words historically bad were bandied about when describing this defense.
So I want to see what Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey can do against that secondary. I really think that Dallas at Chicago, I'm hoping that gets over 80 points.
That would be fun.
So, yeah, I'm totally going to check that.
I'll watch it. Thursday night game. I'll watch whatever Thursday night, dude. Why not? Just why not? Steelers at Bengals, Sunday, 1 p.m. You had discussed previously the playoff significance of that one. Rams at Redskins. Even when the Redskins aren't horrible, the Rams, for some reason, always have their goddamn number. I very much doubt this.
Let's not go down all these damn games, man. Come on, let's just talk playoff teams. Why are you talking St. Louis at Washington? Get out of here.
Because I wanted to. And it's
you disgust
our show.
Me.
Ravens at Dolphins, then, and we went into that one as well. Seahawks.
Who
at,
you got? Ravens at Dolphins.
Ravens at Dolphins. I'm gonna go with. You know what? Let's make it saucy. Dolphins.
It's ridiculous.
I feel that way too, but I wanted to make it crazy.
Baltimore wins by double digits, that's what I say. Screw you, Miami.
Screw you, taxpayer. Chiefs at Cards, 4 p.m. It's a glut of good stuff at 4, actually.
I'm not watching that. Dude, that's two horrible quarterbacks.
You don't like that. You don't like that hot
incompletion action. I ain't coming here to play school. You heard that tweet from the current Ohio State quarterback?
Coming here to play school.
I ain't coming here to play no school.
Well,
I ain't coming here to play no Kansas City at Arizona. That's what I say.
All right. Well, fine. Seahawks at Eagles. Will that pique your interest? As the franchise makes a case for starting next year when Nick Foles is all healed up.
Yeah. Going back to college football, I think that everybody's talking a lot about Marcus Mariota out of Oregon right now.
Yeah. Him and Winston are like the two
top two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I would take Winston as far as on-field ability. Over
Everyone would. Winston has rocks in his heads, though.
Yeah, but even with on-the-field performance from Mariota.
His plural heads, according
I'm not convinced he's an NFL-caliber quarterback.
I know nothing about the dude.
I'll just say this. Like, the only team that should consider drafting Marcus Mariota in the first round are the Philadelphia Eagles, because Chip Kelly runs an offense that Mariota would succeed in. I don't see the way that he plays translating very well to the NFL. So That's my take on him. But yeah, going back to the quarterback, whoever's playing for Philadelphia, they tend to put up points, so it's going to be exciting to see how Pete Carroll's defense shuts them down this week.
Yeah, I personally, this is probably my vote for game of the week in terms of stuff I'm interested in watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that 4 p.m. game. Something just dirty about sitting around for Sunday night, man. Like, game ends 11:45, you got crap to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I don't like so much. But the 4 p.m. game, mwah,
yeah.
Perfect time slot.
Yeah, yeah, it's just right before you get to dinner time. And you're watching the football where it's just like, you know what, for some reason, I just want to eat something fried and disgusting.
Yeah, and no unfair expectations are put upon it because it's a primetime game. Like,
yeah.
It's allowed to just be a game, just a better one. Like, it's earmarked for greatness, and when it delivers, you couldn't be happier.
And honestly, like, you can flip. Like, I honestly would rather see Buffalo play at Denver than Kansas City at Arizona. So you can flip back and forth between Fox and CBS because, you know, Buffalo probably won't make the playoffs. This is their last chance to convince anybody they have a shot when they play at Denver. So I think that could be a doozy of a game.
Oh, and the Buffalo fact for the week, they have dissolved the agreement that kept them playing in Toronto one game a year. That is over.
Interesting. Yes. Yeah. Toronto fans were not big on watching the Bills play in Toronto, as Nate told us on our interview earlier.
The only reason to go there would be if they served up poutine, which I have become just addicted to.
That's so racist, man. That's from Quebec. That's not even from Toronto.
Oh, really? Whatever. I don't care.
Racist.
I go to a Buffalo Bills bar, Jimmy's Old Town.
Yeah.
I've been there twice now.
They have poutine there?
They serve poutine. It's all I get.
Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah.
Just a big fat guy. Like, I didn't think I'd like fries covered in cheese and beef gravy, but it's strangely delicious. Yeah, it's good.
It's so good. Yeah.
Oh, it's all like the first time I had it, I was like, the beef gravy, not so big on that, but the cheese, the fries. Oh, yeah. By the second week, I'm like just licking beef gravy off my fat little baby hands. Like, that was the best.
As a cosmopolitan traveler, I've eaten poutine in Montreal, so I will definitely have to try the version that's served at Jimmy's.
Oh, it's saucy. It's saucy, good sir. All right. Sunday night at 8, Patriots Chargers.
No, that's a great game.
Yeah. 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 It's two teams, like, I don't want the Patriots to win more. Chargers, I would be completely on board with them winning. Do I really give a crap? Do I root against the Patriots the same way I root against, like, the Seahawks or the Eagles?
No. We are far more likely to see this as a playoff rematch than we would see New England playing Green Bay in the Super Bowl. I think this could be a really good game to watch for people who are going to pay close attention during AFC playoffs.
If the Chargers win, this game is nuts. If the Patriots win, it's kind of what's expected.
Yeah, but, you know, San Diego's 8-4. Everybody else is behind them at 7-5. So, you know, they have the room to lose this game. Not that they're going to want to. But, yeah, no, they definitely have wiggle room here. So I think it's not going to put them out to lose that game.
Yeah. Last but not least, if ESPN were at all able to flex games, I think they would try to escape the Falcons at the Packers. But they're stuck with it, and so
are
we.
Hey, man, technically Atlanta's first place in the NFC South.
Oh, or is it their crown this week? Their crown of dog ass? Oh, God. I don't know. The NFC South this year is the most fascinating thing that I never want to watch.
Yeah.
And yet, God help me if they win a home playoff game that first week.
I'm not saying I got one other game I got to, like, point out. And
sure.
I do not watch this game. I would not suggest it unless you're a San Francisco fan. But that game at Oakland is very important for San Francisco. I would treat it almost like a preseason game because they were so historically bad, in my opinion, on offense the last 2 weeks. They need a fresh start. And they have a big playoff push. It's not going to be easy to make the playoffs at this stage because after Oakland, it only gets tougher as they play in-division games. So they really, really need a good game against Oakland. If they just show up and drop another dud, I mean, you might as well just forget about the playoffs in San Francisco.
Yeah, and it's always a big game for that area, I suppose. Grudge match of grudge matches.
I don't know,
the
man.
Battle of the Bay, right?
I guess. I think it's pretty hard.
That'd be a big thing, man.
You know, Oakland if Oakland versus... weren't coming off the heels of a 52-0 shutout, I think it'd be a little more exciting.
Oh, man. All right, well, hold on. Is this the... yeah, that is the proper outro music. You made it to the end of Papa's Football Podcast, Achievement Unlocked. Howard Flood, thank you for joining me, sir.
Always a pleasure.
I'm John Papa Georgios at Papa's Basement if you want to listen to me tweet through games. I don't know. I tend to do that. You can see that I've given up on the Skins. There isn't as much football tweeting, but it's still there. Show site is pfpod.com. Go there for all the shows we've ever done, as well as Howard's writing on the subject of the pigskin.
I do put things from time to time.
Sorry, I'm trying to squeeze one out.
Ugh.
And before you're no longer trapped in the studio with me. If you do iTunes, look us up using the podcast app on any of your iDevices. Subscribe to Papa's Football Podcast, PAPA'S. You can also find Papa's Basement, the same PAPA'S. And that's the comedy show we do together. But find those on Stitcher. Find them on the podcast app. And if you have a Droid, I don't know what horrible third-party crap you have, but find it using that. Subscribe to us. Rate us. Give us a comment. Those are the three things. I wish I could remember what I just said so I could repeat them for emphasis. Subscribe, rate, comment. There you go. Last but not least, we do thespookiescomic.com, something I bang out with a friend of mine. If you're into comics, look at it. It's fun. It's free. All right, I guess that's it till next week.
Peace.